Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It's Wednesday, July 3rd. That painful feeling in your neck is what doctors would call political whiplash. The speed at which Democrats have become emboldened and begun saying what they've said behind closed doors to us and a lot of our colleagues in the media is mind-blowing. There's been a bit of a cascade of folks speaking out with their names on the line, which is something we hadn't seen up until this point. And on Tuesday, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi opened something of a dam of prominent Democrats openly questioning Biden's strength when she said this on MSNBC.
Now, again, I think it's a legitimate question to say, is this an episode or is this a condition?
Joining me now to discuss that and what seems like the very, very rocky road ahead is co-author of Playbook, Rachel Bade. Good morning, Rachel.
Hey, Eugene. Oh,
what a
mess.
What a mess.
Such a disaster. Dems in disarray. What do you
Okay,
know?
It's actually Dems in disarray this time. I know we get a lot of shit from Democrats when we say that, but this is real disarray. I want to start with the Pelosi comments. She kind of walked them back a little bit, said that, you know, she's going to be there on his inauguration in 2025. But this was hours later. And by that time, you already kind of create a permission structure for people to go further than they maybe would have otherwise. How big of a deal was it for her to say this?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's huge. And it absolutely was calculated. And she knew what she was doing when she went on TV and said this. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is one of those leaders that she just doesn't go off talking
right.
point. Even when she's not telling the whole truth, she's saying, oh, you know, Democrats are united
right.
and we're going to pass this bill, even though we're all like, no, you're not. You're fighting. That bill is going down.
Yeah.
Pelosi is not one of those people that goes out and says candidly what's going on behind the scenes. She tries to keep everyone together. So the fact that she waited a couple days and then went on TV and said this, absolutely, like you said, it gives a green light to people. And I think what she did was, even though she had that cleanup statement, you're right, she sort of blessed Democrats to push back on the campaign that is trying to gaslight everyone and say, look, these are legitimate questions.
I mean, the thing that I think is really interesting is that the administration, this campaign, typically don't adjust, right? But they have added things to the schedule. They're doing a little bit more travel. He's doing this sit-down interview with George Stephanopoulos of ABC on Friday, doing things that make clear that they're hearing from folks, they're hearing those concerns. And so a lot of those concerns came from frontliners from the House, like Lloyd Doggett saying that President Biden should step aside, Jared Golden of Maine, Marie Glusenkamp-Perez of Washington saying that basically, if it's President Biden, he's going to lose to President Trump.
Yeah, I thought the Golden's comments were interesting. Number one, because he's in a Trump district up in Maine. He's a top target for Republicans. But he also has this very, this strong brand locally where he bucks his own party leadership all the time. But he kind of said what I'm hearing, you know, from a lot of Democrats up and down, you know, the leadership structure. And that is Donald Trump will win if Biden stays on the ticket. A lot of them are saying that privately. It's interesting, too, because it's not just, you know, frontliners. I mean, Doggett is not, you know, he's going to be in a safe district here. And he's kind of, you know, he's kind of quirky. So not super surprised that he's one of the first person to come out, but he certainly won't be the last. And then you have people like Jim Clyburn, who, you know, even though he's saying Biden's the nominee, he's saying, look, if something were to happen, he would want Kamala Harris to take over, which is not, the fact that he's saying it is like, holy shit, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
I mean, that's the whole thing about all of this, right? Is because at once, as someone who, you know, you don't want to get caught up in kind of the drama all the time, right? You're trying to sit and sift through what's real and what's fake. But there's so many people having these conversations, Rachel, that it feels, it's clearly real. They are clearly terrified, Democrats. They are in, I cannot overstate the amount of panic they're in. But they also feel kind of unheard at times from the Biden folks. Now, my question to you is, tomorrow is July 4th. You know, President Biden is going to do this interview on Friday. Let's say he, you know, does well, whatever well looks like at this point, and we go through the weekend. Does it feel like the holiday kind of saves the Biden folks from, you know, this conversation? Or does it start up in earnest again when folks get back from July 4th break?
Well, it certainly was a boon that Congress was out this week, because I think, you know, a lot of members would be commenting on the record about this.
They would have to, because you guys would be chasing them, throwing shoes at them in the hall.
No, I mean, I don't think this is going to be calmed by next week. I think, you know, the polling we're starting to see is showing a problem for Biden. It's showing the strength of Kamala Harris, which, you know, some people weren't sure about that. And I think people are... I'm hearing more interest on the part of even some frontline members who, you know, are giving her a second look and thinking that she could be stronger. But I do think the White House trying to explain this as like a one-off episode, it's running into the problem of reality. I don't see this dying down anytime soon. I think even if he gives a great interview to Stephanopoulos Friday, if the polling continues to look bad, this is going to continue.
I want to be really, really clear is that like, her orbit, like her real, like her actual, like aides and like the people that actually work for her, and that inner circle are not pushing this narrative, right? They're not pushing her because two things. One, they know from her that she actually does support President Biden, but they also know it would be so unhelpful for anyone to report anyone in her inner circle was having these conversations or pushing the narrative that like, maybe the vibes for her are shifting. Maybe the vibes for her should be shifting. She's the gal, right? Those kinds of things would be super unhelpful. That has not stopped them from happening. What's been really interesting, you know, I've been covering her this entire time and I kind of have whiplash a little bit from the amount of people today who are like, you know what? That Vice President Kamala Harris does look so shabby right now.
Different story than a year ago, Eugene.
It's just like a full different story from you know, her allies and stuff. They said like, this person has always existed. Like, this is not a surprise to them, but they are giving me kind of like, I told you so. They have some glee in their voice when they're talking about the other people who have kind of like seem to come over to the Kamala Harris camp. There's a couple of things that people tell me why she would be good. One, we have this CNN poll. It's one poll, right? So that doesn't tell us every single thing. It does show that she does a little better than Biden would against Trump. It shows that with people of color, she's a plus 29 when Biden's a plus 21. It shows with independents, Trump leads Biden 44 to 34. Harris leads Trump 43-40. Now, these are big differences, right? Again, one poll, but these are also things that like seem to be pretty consistent. She does well with young voters, black voters, brown voters, all voters that President Biden is currently struggling with. She is a prosecutor. Their big thing right now is calling former President Donald Trump a convicted felon. Her best issue that she's probably the best on is abortion, which is at the center of this campaign. She could run on the pretty popular Biden-Harris agenda, right? The infrastructure, climate, student debt, and she can sell it with fervor because a lot of the issue for folks is that Biden is the messenger. She also gets Biden's huge war chest, the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that they have on hand. So there's a world in which she's not that bad of, that people realize like, you know what, this is not that bad of a choice for us.
Yeah, we'll see how long that staying power is for all these Dems who are freaking out and wanting him to go.
You know what? We always worry about the October surprises. Nobody damn told us about the June and July surprises that we'll be damn dealing with this year. Miss Bade, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course, Eugene. I'll see you around.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are out. This afternoon, President Biden and Vice President Harris are going to have lunch to be a fly on the wall of the Resolute desk that day. Later, President Biden will give out the Medal of Honor at a ceremony at the White House. In the evening, President Biden will meet with Democratic governors at the White House. A lot of this will be to soothe their souls because they want to hear from the president. And some terrible news for all of you. Playbook Daily Briefing will be off for the rest of the week in observance of Independence Day. But don't worry, we'll be right back next Monday with a new episode. But don't worry, the newsletter never takes a day off. So if you need all the Democrats and disarray news, that's where it'll be. Have a happy 4th. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.